Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Let's go with the lineups. You got Olin Krutz, the Hawaiian heartthrob.
Olin Krutz.
Olin was the best center in the league. He made me a better player and competitor. We all looked up to you, Olin.
14-year NFL veteran.
Olin Krutz was a warrior. He embodies what a football player is.
Six-time Pro Bowler and four-time NFL All-Pro.
Touchdown!
Who was that lead blocker?
Olin Krutz with a block.
The old veteran comes out there, cuts the defender off of his feet.
670 The Score football analyst.
You never know when your year is. And when you're having a year like this, you don't want to leak into that locker room. Don't worry about next year. You know, you guys are just a growing team. No, now's the time. Go get that win now. This whole team will never be together again. You never know. And this year could be the run.
Olin Krutz.
The conversation is about the toughest guy in the room. Olin Krutz is being talked about.
Olin Krutz with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Just because Bears season's over doesn't mean we want to stop talking to Olin Krutz Fridays.
Hell no, I'm going to Hawaii next month. I need dinner recommendations.
And Olin, I mean, my God, do we want to start with your feelings on Cody Parkey or your feelings on that fan at Bears postgame, my friend? Because it seems like you're probably angry about both.
You know, what's funny is I saw a clip of me talking on Twitter at the postgame. I guess they were recording some of it, but I asked my wife, I said, geez, do I always look that intense when I'm talking? Because I don't feel that intense, you know, but these guys are screaming and, you know, you got to ask them to quiet down so we can run a radio show. That's all I was trying to do.
Where was security?
I don't think we have. We're not me, Hub, and Big Cat. We don't have.
It's not in our budget right now. Yeah, well, yeah, you guys, you can't play bouncer when you're trying to play analyst. Yeah, it's tough to kick a guy's ass wearing Sony's.
We provide our own, but the best part of the story is that I saw the guy who was yelling the whole time that we were trying to talk about Cody Parkey's missed kick. So I walked down there to talk to him and his three friends because it seemed like he wanted to have a face-to-face conversation with me. But when I got down there, they all looked at me and said, the guy who was yelling at you, Mr. Krutz, he left.
Right, said, of course he did.
I said, listen, I saw you, it's you. I saw you yelling. They kept saying, no, that guy left.
was he yelling about Cody Parkey? Was he yelling at you? Could you understand him?
Yeah, I have no idea. You know, it was a long game and people had a few drinks and they were enjoying themselves screaming. I've obviously, you understand the emotion after the missed kick. And, you know, I was talking about, if I remember correctly, I was talking about how the offense didn't play well. And there was a lot of other problems during the game. And obviously he did not want to hear that at that moment. He just wanted to talk about getting Cody Parkey out of town. So he didn't like that I was saying that the Bears actually had other problems than Cody Parkey, who was the Today Show star today.
Yeah, what did you make of Cody Parkey's appearance on the Today Show?
Just too early, kind of weird. I think in a team sport that if it's going to bug, if you think it may bug one person in your locker room, that's one too many. And obviously, not everybody's going to be bothered by it, but, you know, some guys are going to be rubbed the wrong way that you're on the Today Show. Look, the Cody Parkey didn't lose that game in Philadelphia. The Chicago Bears and the whole organization who put in a ton of work lost the game against the Eagles, and I'm sure the pain is still very real for a lot of people who are working in that building and a lot of his teammates, and I just wouldn't want to see somebody on the Today Show, you know, talking about how he, you know, just too many eyes for me when he talked. I did this and I felt this that way, and I'm much more than a football player. It doesn't define who I am. Well, let's talk about the team and how the team lost Cody for at least two or three weeks before we hear about how you're getting over it.
Well, he did talk about the snapper and the holder, even though he forgot their names. That was weird, too.
Yeah, it was. It was just weird. You know, I mean, you missed the kick. Anybody who's played a lot of football, obviously, you know, his position is always highlighted a little more. You know, I remember me and Rex had a fumble exchange in a Super Bowl, and, you know, that hurt me for a long time, just bothered me, just because, you know, it was on the biggest stage of football, and that those kind of things suck. So when you play football for a long time and you work really hard at it, you feel for Cody Parker when he misses that field goal, but you just don't want to hear about it that soon, about how he's getting over it, while he's on today's show talking about himself and how he's got to get over it. And then they're celebrating about, you know, how he points to the sky and all this kind of stuff. And it just bugged me the wrong. It just rubbed me the wrong way.
Owen, in your opinion, should the Bears have told him, don't do that?
You know, maybe some of them did. Maybe they did tell him, don't do that. And he decided to do it anyway, because I'm pretty sure that, you know, that's the last thing that Coach Nagy and Ryan Pace and Ted Phillips and the McCaskey family and Scott Hagel, who, you know, is the media relations guy up there at Halas Hall. I'm sure it's the last thing they wanted to hear about or hear him talking about on a Today Show, you know, not even a week after the Bears lost that game to the Eagles.
Do you think he ever plays again for the Bears?
No, I don't. I don't think he ever plays again for the Bears. And I said this on the post-game show. I don't think it'd be fair to bring Cody Parkey back here. Now, it would be a great story, but I think not just because, and I've heard you guys say this many times this week, and I've heard a lot of hosts say this, it wasn't because that one miss, right, guys? I mean,
right.
He just had a really, really bad year. You know, he definitely missed the field goal, and then now, you know, today's show this morning, and look, we all know football people. Let's not lie about it. They did not like the fact that he was on today's show this morning. So I'm sure if he had one foot out the door, I'm sure he's all the way out the door now.
Well, that's the thing too. I thought it was, you know, it's great if you're evolved and you're a man of faith and you got a wife and a dog and like you personally can get over it. Cool. But like a lot of people live, eat, breathe the Bears and football, and a lot of football people are not that evolved in care. I bet you there's still some players that are pissed about it. So like, I just don't get what his motives were.
Yeah, well said. I agree with you on everything you just said. And I don't think, you know, I don't want, obviously, you don't want to make this to be a huge deal that is on today's show. You know, who cares? Do what you want. But like you said, it just, when you sit down and think about it, you know, I don't know if, you know, the only thing you think of is if he helps one young high school kicker who makes a kick get over it, then maybe it's worth it to him. And that you can understand, you know, if he's trying to show kids how to get through adversity and all that kind of stuff, you can understand that. Look, I have young athletes in my house. You know, they didn't like Cody Parkey on a Today's Show either. So, you know, I don't know who he was trying to reach out to. But, you know, maybe that was – I'm going to give him a little credit here and just say that maybe that was his thought, that, you know, there's one young kicker out there that maybe missed a big kick for his high school team this year, and maybe Cody Parkey thought that he was going to help that one kid and show him how to get through that kind of adversity.
You referenced a couple minutes ago you and Rex Grossman having an issue with an exchange in the Super mm-hmm. Bowl. You know what? If we're going to dump old grudges today from Super Bowl yep. 41, mine forever will be Ron Turner, 6-7 minutes into the third quarter of the game. The game is still hanging in the balance. And on 2nd and 2 near midfield, rather than give the ball to 20, Grossman yep. drops back, trips over his own 2 feet. Booger McFarland touches him, and you're in 3rd and long, and the rest got away.
Yeah, well said. That play definitely hurt. You're going to go back and give Thomas Jones the ball, who the coach didn't seem like they could stop. But, you know, when you – it's like the game the Bears just played. When you go through it with a fine-tooth comb and it's on that kind of stage, there's just so many plays. One play, there's like 5 or 6 plays you always find in a game where you wish you could have done something different. And I'm sure Ron himself wish he would have ran the ball in that situation right there.
I had the over on Bears carries in the game for the day, Danny. It was I think it was 18.5. They didn't get there. The Colts gave up 150 yards a game on the ground, more than a 61 Vikings expansion team did, and they didn't run the ball. Yeah. All right, I'll get over it.
Cedric gets hurt, right? Bob Sanders flies through on an inside zone play and hits Cedric Benson, who was kind of a, you know, Thomas Jones was our back who gained the big yards, but Cedric was kind of a workhorse that year, and he ran downhill and when we lost him. It seemed to kind of throw the game plan off a little bit as far as running the ball. But you weren't the only one wondering about running the ball. There's guys on the sideline, too, asking that question.
Okay, so that's actually interesting. We're talking to Olin Krutz in terms of a guy who you don't expect to be out is out. Now, that's obviously an injury in a game, but mm-hmm. we were wondering on Monday and Tuesday, how much could it have possibly thrown off the Bears' game plan if they already do the install for the Eagles, they already do the walkthrough on Friday, and then Trey Burton shows up with the injury? Like, what if he was supposed to be a big part of the game plan, but he was a late scratch?
Oh, he definitely was supposed to be the big part of that game plan, right? When you just look at matchups for the Bears versus the Eagles and how many injuries the Eagles had, and they got to play a safety down there at linebacker most of the time on passing downs. And I think it was the third down on the first drive, Bron Necker is running, you know, down the middle of the field wide open. And, you know, and that doesn't mean that, you know, you wish Mitch would have threw it, and this is not a knock on Mitch, but you would think that, you know, Mitch took his eyes off of Bron Necker really early. You think that was Trey Burton. Mitch probably gives him a chance in that matchup. So, you know, and you see the shovel pass and just the underneath routes that could have been there with Trey Burton on the field. But it definitely hurt the Bears. But, you know, Nagy's, he could have got hurt on the first play of the game too, and then you have to adjust to that, right? So you don't want to just blame it on that, but definitely they missed Trey Burton, especially when they found out that late in the week. He was there all week taking all the reps, and then all of a sudden he's out.
What would you like to see them do about the defensive coordinator position? That I assume they'll get it done over the weekend. I don't know if you know anything. Who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for Donatell. I think he did a great job with that secondary. And just, you know, just wanted the continuity with how well that Bears defense played this year. But the other name that's out there, I mean, Chuck Pagano is a great defensive coordinator, has the personality to run his own side of the ball. He's been a head coach before, and he kind of makes sense for the Bears, but the Bears need, because Coach Nagy kind of wants to run his side of the ball, and then, you know, de facto head coach like Coach Fangio was. So Pagano makes a ton of sense too, but I think Donatell would be my number one pick.
What are the toughest things that maybe us who were never in the room and never played, what are the toughest things about replacing coordinators?
Just, you know, it's the guys, Coach Fangio's been there with these guys for a while, so they all understand exactly what he wants, and he seems to really fit that defense well. And you heard Akeem Hicks speak glowingly of Coach Fangio, and, you know, everybody I talked to on that team had the highest amount of respect for him and really liked him. So, you know, Coach Pagano is obviously, or Donatell is obviously very well respected, but just it's hard to replace that personality, that confidence. You know, you see Coach Fangio in the room. Coach Fangio walks in the front of the room and opens his mouth. Everybody sits up straight and everybody's really listening now, because this guy's going to put us in position to make plays. He's going to put us in position to win. So whoever gets that position is going to have to earn that same respect that Coach Fangio had to see the level of play that defense had before. And look, guys, it's not right. You guys, I'm sure, have talked about their personnel. I mean, this defense is going to be pretty good next year, no matter what defense corner they get. And they're going to get a qualified defense coordinator to run the defense that was probably the best defense in the NFL this year. And that personnel is not going anywhere.
Which game are you looking forward to the most this weekend, O?
You know, I want to watch the Colts and the Chiefs just to watch. I heard you guys talking to Cosell earlier, and just to watch that matchup with Quentin Nelson and Jones. But also I want to watch the Cowboys, because another Notre Dame guy, Zach Martin versus Sue and Aaron Donald, is going to be a show to watch. So, you know, I'm always watching the interior of the line. But you know, and then I'm going to be cheering really, really hard for the Saints, because I do not want to see the Eagles go any farther after the Bears got them into the playoffs.
Still got a little fleur-de-lis in you, huh? Wow. I wasn't sure about that, having you strangle Drew Brees once or twice.
I didn't know it was Drew who grabbed me. I was just getting whoever was on me off of me.
Okay. Yeah, we know. The story's funnier our way, Owen. Come on.
No doubt. Don't tell me the truth. Entertain me, right?
That's exactly right. You're learning. You're a radio guy now.
For sure.
Owen, thank you.
Guys, I appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, Owen. See you.
You guys, too.
That's Olin Kreutz with us.
You watch through it and it washes over you?
Yes, every time we talk with him, it washes all over us.
Lather me so.
We should knock down a piece of meat with Olin one of these days.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be easy. He doesn't even have to have travels take him to Chicago. He's already here.
Be perfect.
Let's do that. He lives up in the burbs, though, right?
I don't know where he lives.
Yes, he lives in the burbs.
I assume so. Mm-hmm. Let's get him down here.
Let's do it.
Piece of meat, some fish, maybe seafood tower.
Absolutely.
Okay, I wasn't sure. You know.
Oh, hell, whatever you guys want, man. There's very little I won't eat.
There's some news in the world of cinema that I think this is going to be very polarizing. I wouldn't go as far as to say a shocking sequel. It's been rumored for a long time, but a shocking sequel is officially, we know the director, we know the actor, the original cast, the whole thing. 30 years. After a classic.
Ooh, I have been titillated.
Yeah, shocking. And also, you have a story that you teased from earlier, and we'll go through some of our favorite streaks that these teams are going up against from the NFL games this weekend. A lot more to do. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Man goes into a restaurant. You listening? A man goes into a restaurant. He sits down, he's having a bowl of soup. He says to the waiter, "Waiter, come, taste the soup." Waiter says, "Is there something wrong with the soup?" He says, "Taste the soup." He says, "Is there something wrong with the soup? Is the soup too hot?" He says, "Will you taste the soup? It's wrong. Is the soup too cold? Will you just taste the soup?" "All right, I'll taste the soup. Where's the spoon?" "Aha." "Aha." "What do you know from funny, you bastard?"
I'm calling Clay. Excuse me. Wow, it's not right coming out of my mouth. Bastardized one of the greatest lines and one of the greatest scenes in comedy history. Terrible job by me. But Eddie Murphy, Prince Akeem, he's coming back. Coming to America 2. Originally released 1988.
Yeah, more than 30 years after the fact, they're going into production this year. John Landis is not directing it. The Chicago director is still working, but they're going with a youth movement for Coming to America 2.
Apparently, Craig Brewer, who directed Eddie Murphy in Dolomite Is My Name, which I'm not at all familiar with. He and
that's not a good sign.
Well, no, but apparently he and Eddie Murphy.
Dolomite was so good. Let's try Coming to America again.
He hit it off with that director so much that Eddie Murphy ended up greenlighting it. They're bringing back Arsenio Hall as Semi, Sherry Headley, who was ultimately his wife, John Amos, who was her father, and James Earl Jones, all apparently on board. This is from Eddie Murphy. "After many years of anticipation, I'm thrilled that Coming to America 2 is officially moving forward. We've assembled a great team that will be led by Craig Brewer, who just did an amazing job on Dolomite, and I'm looking forward to bringing all of these classic and beloved characters back to the big screen." I think Dolomite might be a Netflix movie that I don't even know if it's released yet. But that's one that I would have thought they would have never touched, especially because Eddie Murphy has been basically gone for a decade.
Yes, he has been.
If not more.
Yeah. Yeah, he's yesterday's news more than Will Smith times 10.
Yeah, but like some of it seemed like it was by choice.
Yes, it was.
As opposed to making bad projects.
I have seen Coming to America at least twice, but I don't consider myself by any stretch a student of it.
And
Yeah, and it goes back to late 80s when it was released, early 90s maybe. Second time through was early 90s.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's been a long time since I've given it my love, but I'd be happy to put it on the list of things to do if there's something else coming out. So just to refresh myself on it, I remember liking it very much, but never having much of an appetite to go back for a second helping.
I loved it. I think it's one of the funniest movies ever, and that was part of that run of movies in the 80s that my parents showed me when I was like way too young to see it. I watched that movie with my dad and just like, "Well, I rather enjoy the bathing." I was like, "Really? What's going on here?" The little 12-year-old Danny Parkins enjoying the bathing scenes.
Little Danny was. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, "Oh my god, they're beautiful!" It'd be so amazing to be the Prince of Zamunda. do you think a million is too much? No. And then the McDonald's scene, and where the robbery, and then that's the callback to Trading Places that we were just talking about. Now, obviously, so I'm born in 1986. I've read a lot about Eddie Murphy's career. He fascinates me because he was Would you say that he was the biggest star in the 80s?
In the 80s, yes. He
number one.
He came out of the gate in the early 80s at the age of 19 on Saturday Night Live and with his early, like, Beverly Hills Cop and 48 Hours and that sort of thing. Just roaring. And his HBO comedies.
Raw and Delirious.
Yes. And Raw got it done at levels that had previously not. And I enjoyed the hell out of Eddie Murphy for about a decade, and then he went away.
Yeah, well then he cashed in, and he made, you know, Nutty Professor, yeah, right. Shrek. He made the kid movie.
No, Dan Jiggets was the Nutty Professor.
Oh, I apologize. Listen to this run for Eddie Murphy in the
80s. It does look like Jiggins.
I can't unsee it in my mind.
1980 to 1984, he does Saturday Night Live. And if you read the James Miller book about Saturday Night Live, it's basically credited with saving the show after the original Saturday Night Live cast. Some of them leave. He's this tour de force performer that helped save the show. 82, 48 Hours. 83, Trading Places.
83.
84, Beverly Hills Cop. 87, Beverly Hills Cop 2. 88, Coming to America. Raw and Delirious.
That's quite a decade.
That is an amazing 8 or 9 year run. Not to mention all the sequels that come out and all that. And then he cashed in. Dr. Doolittle, of course, made him a ton of money and a bunch of sequels. I love the movie Life that he did with Martin Lawrence in the late 90s, but I don't know.
I'm not optimistic. Just usually comedies the second time
this
through.
This long, too.
Right. Well, maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
It wasn't for Dumb and Dumber, too.
Sequels in general, sometimes, I don't know if you're a fan of Alfred Hitchcock at all. Not a comedy. It's not Eddie Murphy, but Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho was redone a good 20 years after the original, and I'm glad they waited to do it a second time, because the sequel actually was pretty doggone good, but it's not often where they're very good, especially comedies seem to have a higher failure rate than typical movies do in sequel form, don't they?
I mean, absolutely.
I can't tell you anything about Caddyshack 2 because I don't even know if I ever got through it.
Yeah, Caddyshack 2 was atrocious. Blues Brothers 2000, remember that travesty? Yeah, that was awful. Major League 2, I actually found somewhat redeeming.
I've not seen it.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, and I've not seen Sandlot 2 either.
I never did either.
Obviously, I grew up enjoying Major League 2, the White Sox being the evil team.
Yes.
The Jack Parkman. You know,
the shimmy drives the ladies crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't compare to the original, obviously, but it's still on its own. Very good. Not very good, but, you know.
It's good.
It's fine.
It's fine. If you romanticize Major League 1, you'll watch Major League. If Major League 2's on and
it's still
my wife
baseball,
isn't home.
You know, baseball jokes. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
You know, that's always going to get me.
You ain't got no marbles. Yeah, Major League 2 is okay.
Did you ever go see Super Troopers 2?
I did. Yeah, I video on demand.
Because I went with my son, and I hadn't seen Super Troopers, the first one, and we never talked about your opinion of 2, did we?
We didn't?
I don't think we did.
I thought it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Really?
Well, no, okay, that's
I'm not a movie guy.
That's a stretch. Don John is the worst movie I've ever seen. But I went into...
What's a bad one?
Don John is the single worst movie of all time, and it's like... Joseph Gordon-Levitt,
Scarlett Johansson,
and it's about porn. So it's like good-looking people, sexualized movie, and it's just atrocious. But Super Troopers 2, I just went in with really high expectations, and it had been too long, and I felt like they were too old to make the jokes, and it just...
Yeah, I got a kick out of it, because I had no expectations going
that
in.
That helps.
And, you know, yeah, and then 50 milligrams of jelly.
Yeah, that helps, too.
That does. I you know, I've said it before, Ted 2 is... if you like Ted, if you can get past the... A teddy bear that smokes pot and hangs out with a buddy of his.
Get past it. It's the best part.
Yeah, it is. For some people, it's difficult. I found it to be hysterical, and I thought the second one was good, and I'm mad at Seth MacFarlane for doing that silly futuristic, you know, space travel show instead of giving us Ted 3, because I'd be there the night it opened.
And I hope that Ted 3 happens, and my guess is it does, and we're doing a show outing for it. But
that's what it's going to take.
It's going to take.
I would think so if we wrote the script for the film.
That's true.
Allow us to go out as a show and check
it
out, the premiere.
The entire thing. But Eddie Murphy, if you remember, I don't know if you were into the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary special. When
I saw some of it, sure.
Yeah, just like the guest list that they had and everybody that they brought back. I was like, oh my God, Eddie Murphy's going to come back. And is he going to do one of his old bits or is he going to do stand-up? Like, what's mm-hmm. he going to do? And then Chris Rock does that unbelievable intro about saving the show, pioneer, funniest man walking the face of the earth. And he comes out and he's just like, thank you very much. And then, but like not to be funny. Yeah. And he just walks off the stage and he was supposed to do a bit and he punted on the bit. So I don't know that Eddie Murphy still has the comedy gene.
Yeah. No clue. Have not seen an interview with him. Have not seen any of his work in quite some time. When I think Eddie Murphy, I think the 80s. And hopefully it's good. Hopefully the Eddie Murphy fans won't be disappointed by this, but I wouldn't get my hopes up too high. We must not have anybody on this show who watches Saturday Night Live in its current form, because no one ever talks about it. I can't remember one conversation we have had as a show about present day Saturday Night Live.
I feel like it's consumed differently by our generation. You know, yep. like they put a lot of it on YouTube, tweet clips. Like people will know, like, oh, if it was something that really popped from the episode, you would have seen the YouTube video somewhere. You know, like I don't know anyone that sits down. My wife and I, we used to watch it religiously, and we just kind of stopped because, you know, staying up late with the kid. Two, it's like we eventually went to just watching through DVR, and then you're like, okay, here's the cold open. Went on way too long. Fast forward. The next thing you know, you're at the musical guest, and you're like, oh, that was just okay. You know?
Yeah. Like if
the cast right now doesn't do much for me.
Well, they do a lot of with the, you know, the Trump news cycle, and it was a boon. It's a lot of people said it brought back Saturday Night Live, and obviously Saturday Night Live has parodied presidents for forever.
Sure.
But that it kind of rubbed a lot of the cast members the wrong way, that they would go out and get Baldwin for, because I believe Baldwin won an Emmy for his portrayal of Trump on SNL. But so because of the success of that, they've gone and, you know, Melissa McCarthy.
She was terrific.
Amazing. Ben Stiller, when he came out, was incredible as I believe he did Michael Cohen. And so the problem has been, in my opinion, is that the stuff that's like really jumped, and they had a huge renaissance in that first post-Trump Saturday Night Live season, was that all the best performances were done by non-cast members.
Yeah. About 10 years or so ago, I think it was about that, when the cast included Bill Hader. Yep. And I just loved Bill Hader. And Kristen Wiig was my favorite at the time. I've lost it. I don't have my – I know you're a big Pete guy, so I'm not.
Big Pete Davidson guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's okay.
I thought you loved him.
No. I mean, I love the interview that he did on Stern, which is what we talked about.
Okay.
But he's fine. He's
okay.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I thought you were crazy about him.
No.
Hmm.
Did I give off that impression?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, unless I had a dream about you liking Pete Davidson. I don't know why I would.
I don't either, but I mean, if you're
I think I've only had one dream about this show since it started.
Oh, we got to do better.
Yeah. Do we?
Well, I mean, you know.
I think that's a great sign that I'm not dreaming about the show.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dreams are normally negative for you?
I think dreams are a manifestation of anxiety oftentimes. They are for me oftentimes. When things are real, it might,
Okay, well, then that's good.
And I got no anxiety.
Then I hope we don't dream about it. I like Michael Che a lot as a stand-up, and he's a head writer.
I do, too. He's very funny, yeah.
Yeah, he's an incredible stand-up, and so he does a great job on Weekend Update. If I ever see it, I always think it's good, but I don't go out of my way to watch it. But his stand-up specials are spectacular. Have you seen him live, Tanny?
Not Michael Che, no.
Okay. I know you went to the Comedy Store in L.A., and you and I are both big stand-up guys as well.
I haven't caught him yet. He's more of a New York circuit guy, Michael Che, obviously, being on SNL.
But yeah,
he does, like, you know, Comedy Cellar, things like that. I've not seen him, but I would like to.
Yeah, that I was conflating those two things. You're a big stand-up guy. You went to the Comedy Store, not expecting that you saw Michael Che at the Comedy Store.
No, I got you. Yeah,
you took time on your L.A. trip to go to the Comedy Store, which I really respect. Have you ever been to the Cellar?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I love going to the
Cellar. Seeing Dave Attell at the Cellar, that's a comedy bucket list thing. That was like way back then. You could still catch him there, but I need to get back there. It's been so long since I've been in New York.
It's incredible. Have you watched Bumping Mics on Netflix yet? It's David,
not, you know, David Tell
and Jeff Ross.
I have not. I watched the new Netflix stand-up special. was it This Is Comedy or Comedians in the World?
Comedians of the World.
Yeah, Comedians of the World. It's Chris D'Elia, Neil Brennan, and someone else, and I watched two of them. I love the half-hour special format, you know, and I love those two very much.
Neil Brennan's was fantastic. I watched that one. Watch Bumping Mics. Bumping Mics.
I love those two guys. So
That'd be a good title for the Mully and Hanley movie, Bumping Mics.
Yeah?
Crushing Mike and Mike.
Bumping Mics. I like that.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah, you like that?
I do. That's pretty good.
Yeah, just kicking her ass. 9 years of it.
They had to change the show. I think that's why Greeny went to TV.
Yeah.
He couldn't win in Chicago.
Had to get away from Pot Roast. I got it right that time. Pot Roast Jr. at Goose Island Brewery, by the way, is where they're having the 43-yard field goal contest.
Someone's going to make that kick.
Probably.
Someone's going to make it.
Someone's also going to hurt themselves attempting.
Pull a hamstring.
Yeah, likely.
Yeah, 100%.
Tweak a knee.
Yeah. How long of a kick do you think you could make with now that you have the cortisone in the knee? You were very springy earlier today.
I couldn't, even when I was young, I couldn't hit it one from 43 yards.
Oh, no.
35 was as far as I ever kicked.
35 is far?
No, it's not.
I mean,
nah,
I think you're the only one on this show that's ever made a 35-yarder. So, you're the best kicker in the room.
Wow, I made a 35-yarder at football camp 1 year.
You did?
Yeah, it snuck over the crossbar. And it was dead on. It wasn't like there was an actual kick. It was
there wasn't a snap, a hold, and a rush.
I didn't kick in high school. I was the long snapper, but I did kick off in JV football. We didn't ever kick a PAT. We always went for two, which was delightful when you're the fullback.
Perfect for me.
I got a lot of 10 dive calls. So
my kind of coach.
Yeah, that's when I really loved the 2-point conversion. But I kicked off, so I had some kicking skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
35.
You had a single bar helmet back in the day.
Helmet? We didn't have helmets.
Yeah, right?
We had these leather harnesses over our heads.
What was it like when George Halas installed the T formation, man?
Great era of football. 35 yards, man. That's pretty impressive.
35 yards. But that's without anybody rushing or anything. Whatever. That's just taking your step and a half and kicking. You know?
Don't sell yourself short.
Somebody's got a phone that's stuck. They're butt texting us something about Midnight Run. And we received the same text, sir. If you're still listening, you're sitting on your phone. Please get off of your phone.
Yeah, they've said Midnight Run is great with Robert De Niro 100 times. Yeah,
right, and I don't know what that – how Joe Germain – what is that?
I was trying to figure that out, too.
What do we say anything about Midnight Run or Robert De Niro or – I don't know. We're talking films that are funny, and all of a sudden his thought is, hey, you know what? Midnight Run with De Niro is good watch. You ought to give that a little look-see.
This guy or gal really believes so. That it was great.
I know. He just keeps texting it to us. All right, sir. It's Ben Red. Get off your phone.
Yeah, no Eddie Murphy connection. What a weird.
I thought this is like, and it just keeps coming. That text has come at least 60 times. Well, maybe that's not. No, it's gone. It goes back 11 minutes ago, it started.
I don't know what's happening. I hope they get charged by the text.
No, we don't hope that. We don't want that for our customers. We don't want our customers to pay for things they're not doing.
It clogged the feed.
Come on. Don't be that way. Don't be a hater. 12 minutes ago was when it started.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Bulls.
Sitting on your phone, Midnight Run.
But then when you sit on your phone, you just send the same text over and over again. What button is that? Like, how does that happen?
Maybe he's got a. I don't know.
Someone else comes in. Midnight Run is a classic. Yeah. Okay. We agree. Thank you. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves are the highest scoring team in the AHL and boast a combined 20 international hockey medals for the 25th anniversary. Enjoy free parking courtesy of Kia. High scoring, winning hockey and free parking. Chicago Wolves, last team standing. We got more to do. Plus a shot at $1,000.
As consumers of goods and services, what do you think is probably the industry that elicits the most complaints from people who shop and get services?
Just cell phone company would be one.
Okay.
Cell service, airline industry would be one. Restaurant industry.
How about going to the doctor? Do you hear people complain about doctor healthcare experiences?
Oh, of course, all the time.
And all the hoops. Okay.
Okay, so that's the one.
Yeah, that's that would be mine. I hear, well, I
you run, go to a lot of doctors.
You
got to
remember, I run with guys who are older, you know? So,
true.
Yeah. I was at my,
I'm a dentist twice a year, right. A heart checkup once a year, a physical every year or two.
I want to share a story about a company. If you know somebody or if you yourself need any orthopedic work that you need to make yourself familiar with, it is the finest business with which I ever have dealt in any form of business. I, you know, businesses that you regularly support, they are consistent. I'll tell you about it in a little bit, because guys who listen have been listening to me a long time. The chances are they're getting an MRI in 2019, so I want to steer them in the right direction in a bit.
We'll do it. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the Score. This hour's keyword is mother. Text mother, M-O-T-H-E-R, to 72881 by the end of the hour. That's 72881. The keyword is mother. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. We also will give you another shot at $1,000 in the National Cash Contest coming up at 5:45. News of the day, Gary Kubiak is not on the staff with Vic Fangio anymore in Denver. Had a disagreement, apparently, with John Elway over offensive personnel and coaching and all that. So Vic Fangio needs a new offensive coordinator, and the Cubs settled before going to arbitration with all of their eligible players.
Love to be a fly in the soup when Vic takes his wife out for dinner tonight to celebrate his new job, and the big conversation is how his offensive coordinator didn't last 2 days.
Correct. Not a great start.
Jeez.
Or good look for the meddlesome John Elway.
Yeah, jeez. And we did our Who Do You Love picks last hour two. Our best plays for divisional play weekend include the Colts. They include the under in the second game tomorrow, Cowboys and Rams.
That's right.
We're not real sure about where we're going with Chargers and Patriots just yet, and we like the Saints minus the 8, but we may wait until that number drops just a tick.
Yeah, I think there's a good shot that ends up at 7.5 if you can get it right. At game day, maybe even 7. Who knows?
And we got all the games here on 670 this weekend, all four of them. You don't have to go to the old Score at 1160.
It's beautiful.
Oh, God. Danny, we used to, you know, the signal stayed on when it got dark, when the sun went down in Chicago, but we had to change the direction of the signal. When we were on the 1160 frequency, it was beamed straight east. So while we were very big in Cleveland, they couldn't get us in Western Springs. I mean, it was a nightmare. We would roll a music bed every day at 4:45 in the winter. Those of you who aren't going to be able to hear us in a couple of minutes, thanks for listening. Tomorrow on the show, you do a tease an hour and 15 minutes before you're finished because people in the western suburbs and northwest suburbs couldn't hear the station.
That's crazy. And it wasn't about powering down. It was merely directional.
Right. It was just directional.
That's
shoot
crazy.
Shoot that 1160 by FCC regulation straight east. But boy, were we big in Michigan and Ohio, and you get calls from Baltimore
and
stuff.
It's a regional station.
Yeah, it's Westmont you can't get.
No. So what's the recommendation?
I would like to say, you know, because people should have nice things said about them when they treat their customers well. In this case, their patients well. I've had 9 orthopedic procedures, several in the last couple of years. And I went to get a cortisone shot today with my knee doctor at Illinois Bone and Joint in Glenview. They have locations canvassing Chicagoland. I have never dealt with a business on a regular basis that is more consistently on top of its game, where everybody is so administratively crisp. Insurance is never an issue. The people who greet you at reception are warm, helpful, friendly people. Your appointments are on time. I'm still filling out an updated form at 9:04 today for a 9 o'clock appointment, and I'm already being called back to get in my shorts for my x-ray and to get my shot. I had 4 or 5 things I had to do real quickly, including book an appointment with the next IBJI doctor who I will allow to get inside of me, my new shoulder doctor, Dr. Russ. That's coming. I'm going to meet with him. And I was in and out of there in less than 30 minutes with 4 things I had to do.
It's amazing.
And it's not because I do a radio show. That's how they treat everybody. There was a guy sitting there for about 20 minutes older guy, and that's usually who you see at orthopedic joints. Not always. See guys like young Danny Parkins there too, but most people look like me or older. And I said, still waiting? He goes, no, my wife was called in. We had a 9 o'clock appointment, and they took her at 8:45. She's still with the doctor. Okay. See, that's – and it is consistently like that. Dr. Stamos, who did my knee, Dr. Gary Shapiro, who's done my back twice, they are – the facilities are all on campus. They don't send you all over the place. You need an MRI, it's right down the street or in the building. And as I said, they are all over Chicagoland. They're now starting to get into CTE sort of thing. If you have a son who plays sports and has got concussion issues, that their neurology department has had a serious upgrade in the last few years. So I can't say enough great things about Illinois Bone and Joint. They have been spectacular for me. Every time I have dealt with them, they have been 100% crisp, administratively and professional and friendly, and the results have been fabulous.
That's amazing. That's a hell of an endorsement that you're not being paid for. And you said that you also were talking about the show there today?
As I was leaving, I ran into my pal Richard Jabeck. Richard is 62.
Okay.
And he's a score listener from day one. And he and I often have talked about sport. He was a big sports fan. And he said, are you working? And I said, yeah, I went back on the score. He goes, oh, I know that. Dummy, are you working today? I said, sure, it's only 9 a.m. I'll be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, sounds really good lately. And I said, what do you think of the kid? Love him.
Oh, yeah.
Love the kid. They going to get him done? I'm not kidding you. They going to get him done was the first thing he said about Danny Parkins. And I said, yes, they're going to get him done. They will get him done, and we will start our second year beginning in March.
Isn't that nice?
I'm confident of that. Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice? Yeah, I'm confident of that,
too.
You
don't like being called the kid, though, do you?
I get it. It's a medium that skews old and around here, and I'm very young to have this job, and I'm young compared to other people in the workforce in this industry, but no. I don't.
Okay. And you, I'll stop if you don't like
no,
it.
No.
Kid.
From you,
yeah.
100% fine.
Okay.
From you, it's fine.
Not from Richard at Illinois Bone and Joint, though.
That's fine, too. You want to give off the perception and hopefully the reality based on the work of, like, doesn't matter that I'm young. I can do the job at a level that is more than acceptable and leads to performance and ratings and revenue and all that. It has nothing to do with my age. It's hopefully has something to do with you and me together and a match made in radio heaven.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, don't do it.
I was kidding. But, you know, it's the type of thing where it's like, kid, I don't know. I'm an adult. I'm married. I got real adult things going on.
Yes, you do.
So,
you know,
it's that sort of thing.
One of these days, making a mortgage payment will be among them.
You know, I still rent because I'm scared of commitment.
You're married. You've already made a commitment.
Yeah, I know.
One that requires a home.
Yeah, I know.
Don't you have homes?
At some point, I'll, maybe after the ink's dry on the new deal.
A texter said, guess who got a free knee replacement? Hell no. I am not an endorser of Illinois Bone and Joint. I never have. They've advertised here at this radio station and others at which I've worked, but no, I've not endorsed them. I'm saying this because it should be said of a medical provider when they do it right. Because I hear people complaining all the time. I had to wait 45 minutes just for a consultation. And they are prompt. They are professional. And they do great work.
And it sucks when you see and you work in any sort of service industry and it feels like the only feedback you get is negative. Mm-hmm. And you got to remind yourself that, you know, negative feedback outweighs positive feedback on the internet by about 30-1. And, you know, you see people trying to, my flight's canceled, my flight's delayed, they lost my bag, and they just start tweeting up a storm, and they link the handle of the airline, and it's like, but how about the millions of times that you fly from Chicago to San Diego, you take off and you arrive at the gate 25 minutes early?
Right.
It's like, it's fairly amazing.
Yes, it is.
Three and a half hours I'm able to go all the way across the country.
Right. It's not an nothing can go right. It's not an easy proposition what they're doing.
So that's the same thing, right? Like you should be thankful a little bit when you pay for a service and you get a service
exactly.
And it meets your standards.
I am. I don't need an endorsement for it. I'm happy to say good things about them because they do fantastic work. And if you're considering anything orthopedically or neurologically, and the follow-up service. When I had my knee replaced 2 years ago almost, they set me up with an in-home physical therapist, an in-home doctor to check blood viscosity because clotting always is a potential pitfall when you have a surgical procedure like that. And they require you to take a class, not require, but they strongly encourage it, which was very, very informative on exactly what is a knee replacement. And it was absolutely fantastic.
That's awesome.
I can't wait to get another Illinois bone and joint man inside me.
Mark the tape. We have four fascinating games this weekend. We will get to them, not just from the gambling perspective and the show debate that we should let play out on the air. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.